Okay. Praise God. Well, we just want to welcome anybody listening online. Welcome anybody that's going to listen at home on the recording. A good friend of Becky and I's that, you know, none of you guys have gotten to meet, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Everybody say hello to Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
So we just want to welcome those guys in Colorado, you know, and Thomas was a part of the first Bible study I ever coordinated. And so Thomas was there when God was starting this thing and moving this thing, and God was preparing Becky and I for this church. And we're just thankful for Thomas and what he sowed into our lives through that period of time. And man, sometimes I get choked up thinking about it. But the Word changed Thomas's life too. So don't discount that the Word can change your life. Accept it. It will. It'll change your life. You know, I wasn't planning on talking about this, and that seems to happen the last few weeks. But it is New Year's, and God really put something on my heart about New Year's, and it has to do with the New Year's resolution. So we're going to go ahead and hit this now, okay? And our society is real big on New Year's resolutions, you know? That's all you hear about, resolutions, resolution, resolve this, resolve that, resolve to change this, resolve to change that. And, you know, we're almost taught going into every new year that we got to change something and let's just figure out what it is, you know, and then we make that our resolution, you know, and that sounds good outwardly to our flesh, you know, and it sounded good to me when I was a kid and I was struggling with lots of things. I often thought to myself, okay, this year I'm going to stop doing that. This year is going to be the year and I'm going to will myself to stop doing that. And it never worked out when I did it that way. And not only did it not work out, when it didn't work out, I started condemning myself, thinking, what's wrong with me that I couldn't get it done? And, you know, the Lord spoke really clearly to me, and he told me that is called distraction. New Year's resolutions are distraction, okay? And they're distraction because we think about what we need to do and what we need to change. And you know what? Oftentimes we'll start thinking about what our employees need to change or our spouses need to change. And if they ain't got a resolution, we'll come up with one for them and tell them, hey, you ever thought about changing that? Okay, that's all external, praise God. And real change comes internally. And then it works its way to an external change. Okay, so real change occurs on the inside. And one of the weapons the devil uses against people, and especially people in the body of Christ, because they're the dangerous ones, he uses distraction. Okay, he wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be spread thin. He wants us to be spread out all over the place, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to make things happen. Okay, and since we were at the football game, we'll use a football analogy. But oftentimes a team will spread out the defense. Okay, so that the defense isn't all compacted in one area. And it makes it easier for them to run the ball or run certain plays because the defense is all spread out. Okay, they're not able to focus themselves in one area. And the devil's kind of got all us spread out with distraction so that he can just run his ploys and his games right up the gut and just smash over us and just pound on us and pound on us and pound on us. Okay, so we're going to talk about distraction and New Year's resolutions. And if you have a New Year's resolution, you want to change it to this. And it might sound foolish to you, but if you'll follow me today and watch this, you'll see that this is the source that will change everything in your life. So we're going to start with this scripture. And most of what we're going to talk about is going to come back to this, and it's going to connect to this. All right, and Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay, and there's a lot of stuff in this scripture that we're going to have to break down, but the first thing we want to look at is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, and oftentimes in our lives, we ain't seeking first the kingdom of God, okay? We're seeking all these other things that are called distractions. But before we get into this verse, we're going to define these things so you guys don't get tripped up, okay? Because Oftentimes in religious circles in the church, when you hear this taught, you hear it taught completely wrong. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So let's define the kingdom of God. Okay? Because that's a pretty lofty statement. What is the kingdom of God? I could just stand up here and tell you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That sounds great. And then all you guys can walk out of here and say, yeah, what is the kingdom of God? Okay? And that's what a lot of people think. And unfortunately, religion has taught us that seeking the kingdom of God means that you just throw down your whole life and you got to go be in the ministry. You got to go be a missionary somewhere. Or you got to go start a church. Or you got to, you know, quit your job and quit what you're pursuing and go give your whole life over to Jesus. That you got to sacrifice. You got to do more for God. And that's what people teach, that's seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, but those things are all good if God's put on your heart to do them, okay? And you have a supernatural grace to go fulfill those things, okay? So it's not that those things are negative, but that's not what this scripture is talking about, okay? And you should never think that I'm not seeking the kingdom of God if I haven't just given up my whole life and gone and pursued some ministry. So the kingdom of God is within. It's not without. Okay, Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And all those things that it's talking about are inward. And the reason why they say that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink is because that's outward. That's external. Okay, so the first thing we want to understand about seeking the kingdom of God is that you're seeking something inside. And what you're seeking inside is the peace and the joy. Okay, so when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're not seeking something outward. You're seeking something inward. All right? And the next thing that it gets to when it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now there's this his righteousness. Now we have to define that. And hopefully most of you have been at church and listening enough to know what his righteousness is. But I'm going to go ahead and define it because we can't hear it enough. Whenever we hear this, his righteousness, we think that means we have to live more holy or that we need to seek to eliminate sin from our life, okay? And I'm going to say this every time I say it, but guys, I'm against sin, okay? But God dealt with sin. And the way for us to deal with sin is to believe he dealt with it already, okay? So I'm not saying to run out there and go sin, but I'm saying he's already dealt with it. So when he talks about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, see, the word of God doesn't make mistakes. Notice how he doesn't say, and seek our righteousness. Okay? Our righteousness is outward actions and outward holiness, our outward attempts to follow the law. That's what our righteousness is. So what is his righteousness? Okay, what is the righteousness of God? So we're going to go to Philippians 3:9, and I could define it, but I want everybody to see this. And Philippians 3 is an awesome passage of Scripture that we will get into in this church often because it's rich and it's full of awesome truths that a lot of times we completely miss, that we don't put them together, what it's actually saying. But Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay, so I picked this one out because it defines man's righteousness and it defines God's righteousness. Okay, and that's what we want to know, right? So man's righteousness, not being found having my own righteousness. When Paul talks about himself, Paul was a man. So he's talking about the righteousness of man. What does he call his own righteousness? That which is of the law, okay? The law. The law is the Mosaic law that was given from Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments, the law, okay? The ceremonial laws, the clothing laws, the eating laws, the Ten Commandments, the Levitical laws. That's what he's talking about. So our righteousness is what we can perform through the law. That's man's righteousness, okay? But he doesn't want to be found having that. He wants to be found having the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay? So when we're seeking the righteousness of God, we're seeking it through faith. Okay? That's not an outward thing either, is it? So we're not outwardly seeking to be righteous. We're seeking righteousness by believing in Jesus. And I love the Word of Faith movement. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it was a revelation that God gave the body of Christ that we're made righteous through faith. And the fact that God has already done everything and we just have to believe. Okay, but over the last, decade or so, couple of decades maybe, people that didn't have the revelation but just heard it and wanted to use it to teach it, they've got everybody in the body of Christ using their faith to seek all these things. And it's not that it makes me sad, but I think it's unfortunate because people, they're believing for all the things. And they believe that God's done it already, but then they're believing for all the things. And what happens is you're seeking your healing instead of seeking the healer. You're seeking your provision instead of the provider. Okay? So the faith that we use is supposed to believe on Jesus and that we're righteous because of what Jesus did. That's what we're supposed to use our faith for. So when we seek his righteousness, that's the definition of it. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that he's already done it. So if you need to be healed, man, it's a trick from the devil to get you focused on the healing. Focus on the healer. If you are broke and you don't know where your financial breakthrough is going to come, don't focus on using your faith to believe for the money. Focus on using your faith to believe in Jesus. Seek him instead of the things. Okay? So we'll go back to Matthew 6:33. So what we see first here is that the kingdom of God and his righteousness are inward. They're not outward. Okay? So we're not seeking something outward. We're seeking something inward. Because that's where change occurs. Isn't that what we just talked about? Isn't that funny? That's what Jesus says to seek and not all the outward things. Yet we're convinced when we change the outward things that everything will be good. Okay? But that's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Okay, and what Jesus was talking about was people worrying about storing up treasure for themselves on earth. And when he's talking about storing up treasure, he's not specifically talking about money. He's talking about people being distracted with everything they need to do for themselves to make sure they're okay. Because we all worry when we don't have all of our ducks in a row, don't we? Isn't that what happens? And then when one duck gets out of a row, man, next thing you know, we're in the storm and breaking down. Okay, Jesus is encouraging them that that's not the way to go, that that's not what you're trying to do. So notice what he says, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all those things shall be added unto you. Okay, we were talking about this in the Bible study, so I'm going to use it, but the children of Israel, they diligently sought righteousness. They never got it. They never attained it because they were seeking it through their own righteousness. Okay? Whereas the Gentile nation, they didn't seek righteousness at all and they attained it because they never tried to get it. Okay? And that's the thing we have going on here. And this shall be added unto you. You know, the first thing I started thinking about is, have you guys ever seen those infomercials where they try and get you to buy something and they tell you if you buy within the next, 60 seconds, you'll also get this, and that, and they use it as a ploy to get you to buy something. So when you buy this, you get all these other things. And oftentimes, what's that? Right. And oftentimes, all those other things don't have anything to do with the main thing that you bought originally. Okay. And it's not the same thing, but I just want to use it as an example because that's something going on in the society. When we seek God and his righteousness, God takes care of all those things. That's the part that's hard for us to get. You know, we can't trust in that. We're so busy seeking everything else. And it's the law of, and there's a million different names for it, but for me it's the law of seeking and never finding, right? I mean, the more you seek it, you never find it. Has anybody ever experienced that? Where the more you sought something and you wanted it bad and you really tried to get it, you just couldn't get it. And then you stop thinking about it so much. You stop caring. And then all of a sudden, you got it. I mean, has anybody ever had somebody ask them a question that they knew the answer in their brain, But all of a sudden, for some reason, it just slipped. And you're just sitting there racking your brain, trying to figure out what it is. I know that answer. I know that answer. And you're just seeking the answer. And then like 6 hours later, when nobody's around and you're not thinking about it at all, bam, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. That's the same principle that we have going on here, guys. It's a principle. See, the devil's got us distracted and focusing on getting all these things. And God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things will just be added to you. All of a sudden, you'll look around and they'll all be added to you. And the more you seek them, the more you can't get them. And the more you wonder why you don't have them. And there's a million different examples of my life when this went down. Running. I used to run a lot, and I used to train for the Olympics. And, you know, when God first told me to train for the Olympics, he gave me a very specific word, and he said, just run. Okay? And I blew that off, and I didn't meditate on what that meant. So I set out to train and to run. But the first thing I did when I set out to train and run was I determined my timeline. I said, it has to happen within this time. Otherwise, it can't happen. Okay? And so then I structured all my training around the timeline. Okay? And I purposed that since I had to do it in this timeline, I had to do it this specific way. All right? Well, that wasn't what God said. God said, just run. And you see how I sought all the other things instead of what God said? And I convinced myself I was seeking God the whole time, but I wasn't. I was seeking the end result. You see, I wasn't seeking him. And you know what happened is I ran myself into the ground and I ended up being injured. And then I wondered what happened. And it took me a while to figure out what happened. But during the course of that time where I was struggling, God sent two or three different people with words that didn't know God had told me just to run. But then they would tell me, just run. And I'm like, I am just running. Don't you see me? I'm running twice a day, at lunch, at work. I'm running. And you know, I was convinced that it could only happen this certain way. And when I started getting a revelation of this, I hired a guy that was working for me. He was also training from the Olympics, and he was an African guy. And what was funny is when I interviewed this guy, I asked him how he thought he was going to be able to cope working 40 hours a week and still doing all that training, because I knew I was struggling. And he just looked at me and smiled and said, well, I just love running, so it's a non-issue. And all of a sudden, I was like, yeah, it's a non-issue. And my whole world changed because I stopped seeking the end result. And I just sought what he wanted me to seek. Now, did my circumstances change? No. I was still running. I still had the job. But all of a sudden, my mindset changed. So guys, your mindset changes when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness instead of the things. Okay? So whatever situation you think that you're in and you're looking at it right now and you think it looks bad, it can just as easily look good and like nothing was going on if your perspective changed. Okay, and your perspective will change as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness instead of the things. And that's the big trick for us, isn't it? We seek the things. So this word seek in Greek is zeteo, okay? And it's in the present intensive form of the Greek language, okay? And what that means is it's a constant seeking, a continual seeking. It's not something that you stop from doing. It's not something that you just do once and then move on. It's a constant seeking, okay? And we just want to define what this is talking about, guys. For me, I love the Bible and I read the Bible. Some people don't like to read the Bible, okay? That doesn't mean that you're on the outside looking in. You can hear anointed messages if you don't like reading the Bible, okay? And I'm not discouraging reading the Bible, guys. I love reading the Bible, and I encourage everybody to read the Bible. It helps set me free. But, you know, the Bible says that God gave us pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles to edify the body of Christ. Okay, so maybe you're not a reader, maybe you're a hearer. Okay, so don't allow yourself to be eliminated from being changed and from seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness because you don't think you have time to read the Bible or you feel pressed. All right? It can be just as easy as putting on an anointed message and listening to that every day. One message. And if you don't think you can do one whole message, start with 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. I mean, when you're in the car, put on a message. When you're at the gym, put on a message. You know, we're blessed to live in this time. And, you know, all the people we think about in the body of Christ over the years and years and years and years, all the prophets, Elijah, Moses, David, all these guys wish that they were alive now. All right? Don't kid yourselves. They would do anything to change places with you right now. We have the greatest opportunity to walk with God as anybody that's ever lived. And we're talking about the smartphones, guys. The smartphone goes with you anywhere. We have iPods, we have iPhones, we have headphones, we have CD players in our cars. There is no end to our access to anointed messages if we don't want to read the Bible. The Bible is even on CD. You can plop the Bible into your car in CD. Guys, don't underestimate the benefit of hearing the word. And this seek and continue to seek. Guys, hear and keep hearing. You know, there's messages that I've bought, and I love studying the Bible, but just so you guys know, I listen to messages all the time, and they're not my own. And sometimes I listen to my own because I think it's good. And it isn't good because I did anything. I just knew the Holy Spirit was involved. But when you hear messages, don't think I heard it once and well, that's it. Because I had a bad habit of doing that. I'm one of those guys that when they gave you the test, I was done in 5 minutes. Okay, I'm done. You know, what's funny is I think it was in second or third grade, they did an experiment in our school, and I don't even know if they told the parents about this, but they handed us all tests with the instruction of reading the whole test first before you start it. Okay? But when you got to the last instruction, it said, don't fill out any of this test and put your pencil down. Okay? Well, because I want to get things done and move on, I mean, I'm ready to move on. All right? What's the next step in my life? Where's the next place I got to go? I forget the instructions. Bam. I was like, I'm too smart for that. I don't need the instructions. So me being the speedster that I am and always finishing first, I'm looking around at all these people finished. And I'm like, how are they finished? I know they're not done before me. And that's all I could think about was how are they done before me? Because I'm always done first. No one's done before me. And, you know, the funny thing was is at the end of the test, the teacher announced all that. And, you know, duh. After she announced it, man, I was just thinking, I must have been slow today. I was feeling bad about myself. But, guys, when I get an anointed message, I'll listen to it 10, 20 times. And I'll just keep listening to it. And you know what's funny is you always think you get everything the first time, but you don't even get not even 10% of it the first time. You glean maybe 1% or 2%. And even someone like me, as I sit around and I even have a pen sometimes when I'm studying. When I go back and listen to it the next time, I'm like, man, I didn't even hear that. I missed that completely the first time. So guys, it's a trick for us to think that we hear it once and that's it. Okay, we need to hear and continue to hear. We want to saturate ourselves with it. And that doesn't mean that you quit your job. That doesn't mean that you let your work go in the tubes. It means that you seek first. Okay? It doesn't say seek only. Seek first. Okay? When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're in the right place. He puts you in the right place. You know when to do things because he's telling you when to do it and he's telling you how to do it. So it isn't for you to go sit on your couch and be a vegetable and not do anything. It doesn't mean that you just quit doing everything that you love. It means that you seek God and his righteousness also because that's the source of the things that you need. And the devil wants to get us sidetracked with that. You know, in earlier in these verses, and I didn't have time to put all these verses down because we would have never gotten through this message, but Jesus is telling them about the lilies in the field. How they neither toiled nor worked. Okay? They neither toiled nor worked. How many of us feel like we're toiling and working? All of us. I mean, you're not being honest if you don't feel like you're toiling and working. Okay? But something Jesus said that was powerful was not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like the lilies of the field. And for those of you that don't know about Solomon, Solomon purposed to do everything that could be done under the sun. He purposed to seek out everything a person could do. He did it all because he wanted to know what was the end result of it. You know, he built every building he could build. He painted. He sought intellectual things. He sought pleasures and joys. He sought all of these things. And if you want to know about that, go read in Ecclesiastes, because he documents all of it. And do you know what he says? That all is vanity and all was futility. And he said that none of it profited anything under the sun. And at the end of the book, he says, this is the conclusion. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That was his conclusion. Everything else was worthless. That was Solomon's conclusion. Okay, and we're going to go to a little piece of the story of Solomon to outline this. But we'll go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. And I love finding stories and examples in the Bible that speak out the very principle that we're talking about. Okay? Because they're bona fide facts. And all the while, our hearts want to grab onto this truth about seeking God and his righteousness because it sounds good. But then our heads and our flesh are telling us it won't work that way. If you do that, you won't have a job. If you do that, you won't be able to pay your bills. If you do that, you won't be able to be healthy enough. So 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, it says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And to stop real quick, God, what that really is saying is God told Solomon to ask him whatever he wanted from him, and God was going to give it to him. Okay, so that's what God said to Solomon. Whatever you want, ask me. I'm going to give it to you. Okay? How many of us, if God told us, ask whatever you want and I'm going to give it to you, how many of you would ask for the things? Because isn't that what we're seeking first? The things? You know, there's a funny story growing up, and for me growing up, and maybe it was a cartoon, I can't even really remember what it was, but there was a genie, and the genie is giving the person three wishes. And so the person's making all their wishes and getting all their want. And all of the while, as a kid, all I could think about was, that person is an idiot. Why didn't they just ask for more wishes, for infinite amount of wishes? Why wasn't that the first wish? I don't want my wishes to ever end. I want a million wishes. I want this many wishes. And that's all I could think about. You see, but the person asking, they were short-sighted. And all they were thinking about were things, you know. And there's another story, you know. There's a guy that's seeking to establish himself in the kingdom, or there's two guys seeking to establish themselves in a kingdom. And one of the guys has decided, man, if I just become a general, then I'll have the land and I'll have the gold and I'll have the respect of the king and everything that I want. And there's no higher classification than the general. Okay, and so he secures the generalship, and he's looking over at the other guy, and he's thinking he's got him beat. He's got it all. He's got everything he wanted. Well, guess what the other guy was seeking? To marry the princess. Because he understood if he married the princess, then he would be the king one day, and he would never have to work for anything. He wouldn't have to go to war like the general. He wouldn't have to do this. He wouldn't have to do that. And it's the same principle of people being focused on the right thing and people being focused on the wrong thing. Okay, so we'll carry up the story here. And that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither have you asked for long life, but you've asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Okay? And that gets lengthy, guys, and we're not going to break down this scripture, you know, word for word and all this, but this demonstrates the story. You see, Solomon sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happened? God added unto him riches and wealth and honor and all of the things. That's what happened. Solomon's a classic example of Matthew 6:33. He didn't seek the things. He sought the wisdom of God. He sought God's kingdom and his righteousness. And God added all the things to him. You know, and God, he said to Solomon, because this was in your heart and you have not asked for riches and honor and long life and this and that, because you've sought my kingdom and my righteousness, all those things are going to be dumped out and added onto you. Such as had never been done before. Now, did Solomon toil or work for all those things? No. See, Solomon was like the guy with the genie that knew that he wasn't going to exasperate three wishes. He was going to ask for an unlimited amount of wishes. He was like the guy who didn't want to be general but thought, I'll marry the princess. Okay? You see, Solomon had a mind to seek the one thing that mattered. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the mind that we all want to have. Guys, and there's no condemnation if you can't receive that. God's not sitting up in heaven thinking, look at this guy, what's wrong with him? Okay, that's not what God's thinking. So it isn't about condemning yourself or feeling negative if you haven't been seeking the kingdom of God or his righteousness first. And if you can't do that today, if you can't purpose to seek God and to hear more anointed messages or to spend a couple of minutes reading the Bible every day, God's not condemning you then either. So if you can't pick that up for 10 years, 20 years, if you could never pick it up, God loves you the same, you see? But you could have it better. Here is the point. See, the point isn't to earn God's love or his approval or his acceptance. The point is you could have it better here if you sought God and his kingdom and his righteousness instead of the things. And guess what? You don't sacrifice the things. You end up with the things anyway. Did Solomon sacrifice anything? You know, Solomon was the richest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And I didn't have time this week to add up what he had in inequality to our money in today's day and age, but he would by far be the richest person alive today if you added up just his gold and silver, using gold at a $500 an ounce mark. Guys, gold's $1,500 an ounce today. And if you added up Solomon's wealth and riches, he'd be richer than all the richest people we have in the world today combined. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all these guys, you could take them, roll them up into one, and they can't even scratch the surface of Solomon. Did Solomon seek any of that? No. He sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, and Solomon's story is really great because that's how he started, and look what was added to him. You know, but where Solomon ended up, because he started seeking other gods, he started seeking other things, all the things under the sun. Do you know where he ended up? Lost. In despair. That's what happens when you seek the other things. That's the distraction. That's the ploy of the devil. You analyze, I need this. Okay, here's how I go about getting it. Guys, and again, I love being healthy. And just so you guys know, I go to the gym a lot, okay? So seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness does not mean that I'm going to stop going to the gym. I like going to the gym. But you know what? And this is just as an example. Nobody put themselves under the law. Okay, you do what God leads you to start doing as far as listening, trying to hear more anointed messages. I listen to anointed messages while I work out. Okay? Because I have time. And praise God, we have the iPods and the MP3 players. And I listen to anointed messages. Doesn't mean you have to. But the point is, there is a place in your life where you can listen to some of a message. You can do it. If you can't read the Bible, if you say, I don't have time to read the Bible, I used to think that it was never the truth, okay? But I'm not going to try and convince you of that. But if you think you can't read the Bible, God will meet you where you're at. Pick out one scripture Some scriptures are like 4 or 5 words long. You can meditate on that one scripture for a month and say, I was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, and I used to do that also when I would go to the gym and get on the elliptical. And one of my favorite things to say was, I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. That's a scripture, guys. How hard was that? Was that difficult? Did that press in on anybody? So it's real easy, guys. It's not this hard thing that we've all heard. Oh, you got to suffer. You got to just give up everything. You just got to give it all up to seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness. That's not true. That's the devil trying to make the mountain seem like it's 14,000 feet high and you don't know if you could ever climb it. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is easy. Notice he said that the lily didn't toil or work at all. Okay? So seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness involves no toiling and no working. Yet we've all convinced ourselves it involves much toil and much work. And not only that, we've convinced ourselves that it's too much for us to do. And hey, I love being the pastor of this church, and if you don't think you can pick out scriptures for yourself, hey, I am not above picking out some real easy scriptures that you can just think on during the week. And it doesn't mean you got to do it this many times, and if you don't do it this many times, God's going to smite you. Doesn't mean if you did it this week and you forgot next week, God's going to smite you. But I'm telling you, start purpose to twisting around the word of God in your head. That's seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I mean, the interesting thing is, for me, was when I started doing this, there was a lot of squirrely things. And when I say squirrely, I mean things that were lies from the devil in my heart. And when I started seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, just by meditating, I was on the elliptical. I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of his I'm just thinking that in my head from time to time. Just thinking that stuff in my head. I let the peace of God rule in my heart. I refused to worry about anything. And I would meditate on those things. What started happening was all the lies in my heart that were causing my life to, and I'll go ahead and use this language, to suck, okay? They started getting weeded out without me even trying. And it would come by revelation. All of a sudden, God would be like, this isn't true. This is the truth. And all of a sudden, I was free. You know, I used to have a big problem with feeling sorry for myself. And it wasn't the type of sorry for yourself that made you go sit on the corner and not do anything. But I always felt like I wasn't getting a fair shake. And I always felt like, woe is me. And every time anything bad happened, I started feeling, woe is me. Woe is me. And I thought I was just getting a raw deal. And, you know, and that was one of the first things God yanked out of my life. And I tell you what, when I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I started seeing the truth, man, the blessings in life started pouring out of me. And I think that's a common ploy of the devil, is to get us to feel sorry for ourselves and to feel woe is me in the heart of the storm. But that's not the truth. And that's just an example for me, guys. But that's one of the things the devil used to try to destroy me and keep me from living the abundant life. And that just got yanked out. You know, the world tells you got to go to counseling for 10 years to deal with that, right? There's lots of pain. Amen? All that trauma. Amen? There must be counseling. There must be counseling, and they must be degreed, and you must be medicated. How else could you be happy if you're not medicated? Right? Isn't that what they tell you? Glory to God. You know, the answer is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the answer. You know, and I'm not coming against anybody who maybe has been medicated. You know, I self-medicated when I was young because I couldn't cope with the woe is me's. And I convinced myself that took care of my woe is me's. But it didn't. It just shuffled them under the rug. You know, when you clean the house and you just, you know, you got one closet, you just go throw everything in and you just close it up. That's what I was doing. So the medicine is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the medicine for everything that ails us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Okay? So I'm going to read this again. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We're in Christ Jesus. Guess what our everything is? Christ Jesus. He's been made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. All those things that I just read, they're all in him. So when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, who are you seeking? You're seeking Jesus Christ. Because why? All these things are tied up into that. You need a financial breakthrough? You want an invention? There's your wisdom. You're broke? You need to know how to invest money? You need money-making ideas? There's your wisdom. You guys know that the majority of the Fortune 500 companies have been started and run by Jewish people? Do you know why? Because they received the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. Go look it up. I mean, the guy who started Facebook, Jewish. The list goes on and on. That guy wasn't even out of college yet. He's a gazillionaire now. All it takes is one little idea. Who's our wisdom? Jesus. The wisdom isn't the answer. Jesus is the answer, and then the wisdom is added to you. Righteousness. You want to be righteous before God? You want to be right with God? You want to be able to run up to God and kiss him on the cheek? Mwah! It's in Jesus. That's your righteousness. Not seeking it. Not seeking to be righteous by following the commandments. That's not your righteousness. Seeking Jesus. Seeking anointed messages that talk about Jesus. That talk about what Jesus did. That talk about what you have in Jesus. That's the answer to all the things you think you don't have. And then all the things get ironed out. And then you start thinking, you know, who cares? You know, and I told Christy that last night when she was talking about something. And I said, you know what? Who cares? And that was hard for me to say just a year ago. Because I used to sit at work and think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? My bonuses depend on this getting done, that getting done. I got to make it happen. What happens if I don't get my bonuses? I can't live. And you see the cycle. It just starts twisting. And you know what's funny is, towards the end there, as God was preparing me to come pastor this church and really weeding all the bad stuff out of my heart, you know what he did? I heard it loud and clear as I was going through these motions about all that stuff. He said, who cares? Who cares? You know, and see, I was seeking a thing. I was seeking the things. And he said, who cares? Seek me. You know what I did? I just started seeking him. And I never missed any of my bonuses. I didn't worry about him again from that point. And guess what else I had? All the peace and joy that came along with it. What did it say the kingdom of God was? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Inward? It was inward? We're seeking things for our peace, things for our provision, things for our joy. That's what we're seeking. And that's what the New Year's resolution has become. And that spreads us thin and leaves us distracted from seeking the one thing that all our things will be added unto us. Solomon did everything, guys. It says in the Bible, Solomon did everything. There ain't nothing you can do that Solomon didn't do. Solomon was a gazillionaire and he set out. He said to himself, I'm going to do everything that can be done. And it said Solomon was the wisest man in the world because of what he asked for God. So he could do it all. He had the resources and the intellect to do everything. He did everything. And do you know what he said? He said it was all worthless. There was no profit. That's what the devil wants us doing. He wants us seeking things that are of no profit instead of seeking the one thing that adds everything to us, Christ Jesus. Praise God. And guys, we're all guilty of this because we live in this world. And I'm guilty of this too. You know, oftentimes people think, well, you're just the pastor. You just, you know, you got some special anointing. God's given you some special cup that you drink from. That's a lie from the devil too. I'm the same as anybody else. I'm the same as anybody else. All I got was a revelation of this one thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all I did was put some headphones in my ears and I hit play. That's it. Does that sound like toiling and working? No. And you know what's funny is, and I'm not knocking any of these things, guys. This is an example of me, okay? So don't feel condemned if you do some of these things, all right? Because there's no condemnation in this church or from God. But I loved reading the newspaper every day. And I spent a lot of time reading the newspaper every day. and studying all these things. And when I was into doing that, I'd tell myself, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to do that. And the funny thing was, once I started adding in some of Jesus, putting Jesus first, and it wasn't for a long time at first, it was just that little scripture I was reciting to myself in my head. It wasn't long before I no longer desired to read the newspaper. Guess what? There was no profit in reading the newspaper. I used to convince myself, I need to know these things, I need to study, I need to be able to make proper investments. Okay? I got to be able to manage my retirement, this and that. You know, what's funny is the greatest investment I ever made while I was working came from God telling me to do it. Okay? And I don't give out investment advice, and this isn't advice to invest now because I don't think it's a good investment now because the run-up has already occurred. But when God told me to do this, he told me to invest in a company named Visa. Okay? And this was when Visa first went public. And so I bought their stock when they first started. Well, Visa has more than doubled their stock price when I did that. And guess what? The whole free world is now changing over to electronic payments from cash. And what do you think Visa's going to do? Because they're the largest electronic payment company in the world. You see, God adds these things to you. He gives you the things that you need. He puts you in the right place. This is one of my favorite stories, guys. And being in this church, you're going to hear this story a lot because it's covered in a lot of areas. All right? But this is the story of Mary and Martha. And these are the sisters of Lazarus who Jesus raised from the dead. Okay, so Luke 10:38 through 42. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Guys, and I could preach 20 or 30 different messages just about these verses. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was all worried. Jesus had come to the house, and she was all worried about being able to serve everybody. And she's just busting her tail. She's got to get everything done. This has got to get done at work. That's got to get done at work. If I don't do it, no one will do it. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. You see, Mary was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Martha was all worried about the things. Look what happens to a person who is worried about the things. Martha goes and scolds Jesus and questions his goodness. "Don't you care?" Now, can you imagine running up to Jesus and saying, "What is your problem? Don't you care that I'm being left out in the cold? Don't you care that Mary is slighting me? Do something about it, Jesus." And sometimes you got to think about this in your own life, but, you know, Martha loved the Lord too, all right? And this is a great example of people who love the Lord but are worried about the things because they've gotten distracted and spread thin. So Martha's not some evil woman, okay? So nobody get confused. Martha's a believer, all right, who is just distracted with the things. But if you don't think that Martha was calling to Mary before she went and got on Jesus' case, guess again, all right? Because Martha believed Jesus was the Son of God. So I guarantee you that her first course of action was to try and get Mary by herself. So she's, psst. You know, she's standing. You know, anybody ever felt like that about somebody in their life, their employee? Or has anybody ever been on the receiving end of that? That's a Martha situation. Okay, so finally, Mary wasn't going to be distracted. Mary said, "I resolve to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I ain't going nowhere. This is the one thing that is needful. So Martha finally goes and accosts Jesus. Don't you care? Don't you care? And I love this, because when I had employees and they did something really silly or just, you know, without sense, I would always say their name more than once. Because when you study the art of communication like I had to do, and the art of debate and the art of talking to people, you grab their attention more when you say their name. It's a bona fide fact when you're talking to somebody. If they get sidetracked, it brings them back. It brings them back. Okay? So Jesus, he's Almighty God. He knows how to get through to somebody. Notice what he says here. Martha, Martha. He says her name more than once because he's grabbing her attention. Pay attention here, Martha, because she's so distorted and so concerned with so many different things that she can't even see. Almighty God is here. Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. Do you really think Martha needed to do all the serving? Did everything depend on Martha? No. How many of us have convinced ourselves that all the things we need in our life depend on us? And not just on us, but depend on us getting everybody else in our life to get on board. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. So notice what Jesus said to Martha. Thou art anxious and worried and troubled about many things. You see, Martha had a problem. Notice Jesus didn't say that she was careful and troubled about serving. But isn't that what it said at the beginning of the story? That she was worried about serving? So you see, in Martha, her being worried about the serving exposes a greater truth in her heart. She was always concerned about all the things. It just so happened, this thing happened to be the serving this time. Okay? So Jesus exposes this for her. You're worried and troubled about many things, Martha. You can't have peace. You're just all out there trying to make everything happen. And what did Jesus say? One thing is needful. And your sister Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Well, what was the one thing that was needful? What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the foot of Jesus, hearing his word. But conventional wisdom would tell you, how are those people going to eat? If no one serves, how are they going to eat? That's what my wisdom told me. If I don't plan properly for my future, how will I retire? If I don't do this at work, how will I get my bonuses? If I don't do this, how will I get that? That's Martha. That's the Martha mentality. That's the mentality the devil wants us to have, to be spread thin and to be thinking like Martha. Because was Martha at Jesus' foot, hearing his word? No. But what was the one thing that was needful? For her to hear his word. So the only thing that could have changed her life and added all the things that she was troubled and cared about was sitting at Jesus' feet. But she couldn't get there because she couldn't let go of all the distractions. She was seeking all the things and not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mary was seeking the kingdom of God. Guys, Mary had her headphones and her iPod, and she said, this is the first thing. This is the thing that I need to be doing. I mean, the devil's got us so wrapped up in this fast-paced life. And guys, this is America, and I get it. We are living in a fast-paced society, and if you don't keep up, man, the burners, it's like you feel it. I mean, it's burning you. You know, everybody else is moving this fast. If I don't move this fast, I'm in trouble. That was Martha. Guys, you don't have to lay everything down to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a lie. It's a little piece you can add. And let that little piece start changing your heart. It's not working and toiling. He said Solomon worked and toiled. And Solomon did everything under the sun that could be done, and it was profitless. It was profitless. What happened to Solomon when he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? He had everything given to him. Everything. That's the same thing for us. One thing is needful. Jesus is teaching Martha. You know, well, Pastor Greg, if I don't do something, then nothing will get done, you know. And this one thing is needful ties in to the law of being at the right place at the right time, doesn't it? And doesn't our human brains tell us that Martha would be the one that would be successful since she's the one doing all those things, right? Isn't that how we analyze everything? If you're looking at Mary and Martha, clearly Martha was the one that was doing, and Mary was kind of la 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 whistling Dixie. Well, wouldn't that mean that Martha's the one that's going to be successful? Well, later on in the gospel and in the gospel stories, Mary is the one that anoints Jesus before his death with all the oil for his burial. She was the one that heard. Do you think she knew to do that on her own? No. But she was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so she heard when God said, go. This is where you can be. When God's given you the idea, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God gives you the idea. You're not the source of the idea. Mary was in the right place at the right time, not Martha. And you know what Jesus said about Mary? That this will be a memorial to her for all time. And it is. Here we are in 2012 talking about Mary and Martha. Jesus says one thing is needful. The horizon is what keeps you peaceful. Focusing on the horizon when you're in the choppy waters, when you're in the storm, that keeps you peaceful. That's your source of peace. The one thing that is needful. So guys, if you're thinking about resolutions, the devil wants you to think about outward things and all these things you need to change to better yourself, okay? And God says, man, there is one thing that is needful, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. So I can't say this enough, and it isn't just my messages, guys, but there's a reason why we put all this stuff out here for free. There's a reason why that Lias has got all this stuff online for free for everybody to get. Okay? There's a reason why God put Lias in our lives to make all that happen like that before we even had a building. Okay? It was because one thing is needful. One thing is needful for us to be able to hear anointed messages. And I'm not the only one. There's other people that have anointed messages. Okay? So I'm not plugging myself. I'm plugging the message. Okay? And in myself, I'm nothing. It's the grace of God. All right, but there's other people that have anointed messages. And if you don't know any of them, I'll be happy to tell you some of them. But you want to hear God's word. If you don't think you have time to read the Bible, just listen for a while. Just listen when you think you have time. If you don't think you can listen and you don't think you can read the Bible, find one five-word scripture that you think you can think about every once in a while. It's not complicated. Don't let the devil make you think it's hard and it's complicated. It's not true. It's simple. It's easy. It's the answer. It's the answer. So we're going to finish up with these stories real quick, and then we'll end it. But it says, this is in Leviticus, okay? And it's foolishness to us to seek the one thing, isn't it? That sounds foolish to us. Come on, guys, be honest. Everybody's saying, yeah, you're a pastor. That sounds great, but that's ridiculous, okay? That's right. It sounds like foolishness to the human mind. Leviticus 25, verse 3 and 4. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. How will we eat if we don't sow? How will we eat if we don't gather in the crops? Isn't that what we're all saying to ourselves now? Isn't that what we're saying? Leviticus chapter 25, and this is later on. Verse 20 and 21. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, if we don't sow nor gather in our increase, what will we eat? This is God. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. See, it sounds like foolishness to us to not sow the seventh year and to let the land rest. That sounds ridiculous to us, doesn't it? But look what happened. You see, they sought God's rest, which is what we have in Jesus, and everything was added unto them. Everything was added unto them. The provision was there. You see, when you seek the rest, you're seeking the provider and not the provision. And guess what happens? The provision comes. The provision comes. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And for those of you, I'm sorry I'm moving through this fast, but I carried on a little too much at the beginning. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Okay, this is the parable of the sower sowing the seed, and I will get into teaching this parable in this church at some point. But the sower is Jesus. What is he sowing? His word. Why is he sowing his word? Because that's what produces. Okay? Notice, this is just one of the examples of a person's heart, and it's talking about different people's hearts in the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And he's describing a heart here where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. One of the biggest teachings of the parable of the sower sowing the seed, is that the word is what produces fruit. The word is what produces fruit. So when you seek the word, the fruit is produced in your life. But if you get distracted in the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the things you need and the lust of all the things the world gets you focused on, if they come in, they choke the word. They choke the word. You know, the children of Israel, they abandoned that rest of the land, the Sabbath rest. Do you know we've abandoned that rest in our society today? Do you know that's a scientific fact that fruits and vegetables are not near as beneficial for our health as they were 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago? Why do you think that is, guys? Because we sought things and not the one thing that was needful. The one thing that was needful. In fact, they abandoned the rest so much that God said there's going to be, I think it's 70 years, where they weren't going to be able to bring forth fruit in the land because of that. So praise God, we're not under that covenant. God's not going to tell you, well, you can't be fruitful because you're not seeking me first. God will still try and get blessings to you through other avenues. You're here at church today, okay? So he's trying to get you right now. He's knocking on your heart right now, saying, man, one thing is needful. If you're stressed, if you're pressed, if you're spread thin like butter on a piece of bread, one thing is needful. Hear the word. These which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And then what happens? They bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and 100-fold. Law of sowing and reaping, guys. If you plant the word in your heart, it's going to produce. It's a fact. The Bible says it's an incorruptible seed. It can't be corrupted. It's the only thing that does produce fruit in our lives. The only thing that produces fruit in our lives. Guys, one thing is needful, okay? Don't let the world and the cares and the deceitfulness of riches turn you into a Martha, okay? Turn you into Martha. Don't let them turn you into Martha, because then you're always worried and you never have peace. But if you sit at Jesus' feet and you hear and keep hearing anointed messages about the finished work of Jesus, about the fact that you're righteous because of what Jesus did, about the fact that you're made whole because of what Jesus did, then you're doing that one thing that's needful, and all these things will be added to you. And you won't even know it. You'll end up looking around and you'll think, man, how did all this happen? Where did this come from? How did it get here? I neither toiled nor worked. One thing is needful. I can't say that enough. One thing is needful, guys, and we have more ability to listen to anointed messages than anybody. And messages, it's the foolishness of preaching. I mentioned that. It's the foolishness of preaching, guys, that God's chosen to sozo all of us, to heal all of us, to save all of us. You know, when Paul was in the book of Acts preaching, he said he noticed that a man sitting on the front row had faith to be healed. And he went and yanked that guy up out of the chair. Be healed. Stand up, you're healed. Okay, it was through preaching. See, he heard the word. The word produced fruit. All the things in the world, all the doctors in the world, they couldn't heal that guy. But he heard the word, and it got planted in his heart, and he was healed. You know, Paul, it said that Paul noticed he had faith. Paul probably saw the guy in previous churches. Paul was probably doing multiple messages. He's thinking, that guy's been sitting there for three in a row. Imagine you guys leaving and then staying here for three more times and me saying the same thing. That guy had faith to be healed. He heard the word. He planted it in his heart. And guess what? It brought forth fruit. That guy had been crippled his whole life. And he stood right up and was healed. Hear the word. One thing is needful. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and we just open our hearts to the truth about your word, and we just plant the one seed that matters in our hearts, your word, Lord, and we just watch that word produce fruit, glory to God. And Father, we just cast away the cares of this world, and we just seek your word and seek to hear messages about your son, Jesus Christ, and we just let that add all the things unto our life. Amen.